Well, this morning is Trinity Sunday, and it is the only Sunday in the entire church year where we talk about a doctrine, something that we believe as a church and as a faith in the three parts of God, the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, doctrines are helpful. They help us form our beliefs and inform how we think. But I think to just discuss a doctrine and not know how it impacts how we live, it really doesn't have a lot of meaning for us. And so today I want to talk a little bit about how it impacts us, not so much how it works in its sense of being a doctrine. Augustine of Hippo, who is a great teacher of the church, had three different ways of talking about God. God the lover, the beloved, and the love. And this tells us how we are to be with each other. It's not, as you know, all of you have been in love probably once in your life or have loved someone, and it doesn't mean it's easy, but it does mean that it gives us an example of how to be. The Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Leggett, who was a professor of mine at the Vancouver School of Theology and is currently the rector of St. Faith's in Vancouver, has created three belief statements that I want to share with you this morning that relate to this love and how we can be in the Trinity, how we can live rather than just have a statement of faith. And the first is, I believe that God is for us, not against us. Think of a time when you had something happen to you, like you came to St. John's and there was no parking spot. And you thought, why today of all days? God must have it in for me. Now, that's a gentle example, obviously, but I know some of you have thought it. Really, why would we think that God was against us in that moment? Why wouldn't we think that God was for us and was perhaps providing us with an opportunity to walk in the spring sunshine, get some health and exercise, and perhaps meet people on the way? That's a clear option. In the creation story this morning, we hear God affirming creation. After every single day, God said, and it was good. And at the end, it is very good. God sees us and creation in our beauty, in our potential for loving relationships, and in our participation in God's mission. We have a choice, a very clear choice, to believe in the good or to blame. We have a choice to learn from hardship or to claim that we are victims. We have a choice to admit what we've done wrong and make reparation or to wallow in it. These are all choices to choose between whether God is for us and with us or against us. But God is consistent, always offering us good relationships, always offering us the choice of love, and always offering us the choice. Second statement, I believe that God is with us, not far from us. Often whenever we are in times of hardship and trust, we say that we can't see God, we can't feel God, we don't know where God is, and then someone comes along and helps us, or speaks an encouraging word, and later, when we feel better, we think, ah, maybe God was there. I just didn't notice. God has worked through history, through the great forefathers and mothers of our faith, through Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Noah, to make known divine wisdom and purpose. God speaks through prophets in the past and the present to wake us up and to call us to positive action. And God meets us in a very intimate way through Jesus, who lived a life like we do, lived and died as one of us. And so God has been with us in all of those instances. God accommodates our limitations as being human, stuck here in time and space, and enters it each and every moment. Whether we're in crisis or in joy, in life or in death, in ways and encounters that we need only to be attentive to. I once read a really great book called Mutant Message Down Under. Strange title, but it was about a woman who went to Australia and went on walkabout, like the Aboriginals do. And she learned about the Aboriginal ability to communicate over vast, vast distances. They could open themselves to each other in a way that we in North America have no idea how to do, and hear a message from a very long way away. And they would meet together, they would go in crisis and times of need, and they would be there for each other. And this woman couldn't believe it. But the longer she stayed with the Aborigines, the more she began to understand that they were open, totally open to such communication and grace and power. And she saw it before her own eyes and believed in it. We have that opportunity with this God of love, to be open to the fact that God is with us no matter what, in every moment. It's us that doesn't see it, not God that doesn't offer it. And the third statement, I believe God works in us and through us, not without us. You're all familiar with that prayer we say when we're not using the New Zealand Prayer Book. Glory to God whose power working in us does infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. We can't actually even imagine the ways in which God can work through us because we only see our limitations. We don't see all of our potential, individually or as a church or as a neighborhood. And what is the power that's spoken about in that prayer? What is it? Well, I believe it's love. Genuine love, self-giving love, steadfast love, love that is appropriate and boundaried and yet so abundant that we can barely face it. And every human being, whether they believe in God or not, can draw upon that love and be touched by us, by it, and by us. We have been given the power to work with God to recreate, to restore, and to renew all of creation. Now that means that we also have a big responsibility because we need to A, choose to do that, and B, act wisely in that recreation, restoration, and renewal. Our actions and choices matter. Lately, I've heard a lot about it's all about me, poor me. I might have even said that once or twice myself in the last couple of weeks. It's part of our society. But you know what? It's not all about me. It's not all about us. And we need to remember that. Instead, it's about our choices, yes, and what we do with the power that God has given us and the love God has given us. But it's not about us. It's about healing the wounds of creation and reuniting what's been broken. That's the power of love, with which we can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. So what is this true mystery of this Trinitarian God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as you were baptized with. Well, it's that God chooses to reveal that mystery of love through us, through creation, here and now. David Luce often offers ideas for preachers every Sunday, and he has a definition of the Trinity that is upside down and backwards, but I think is exactly what I'm talking about. Called and sent by the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ in word and deed for the sake of the world God created and loves so much. That's our job. That's our job, is to go out there, to live in that love, to live in those beliefs, and to share that with our hurting, needy world. So how are we meant to be? Forget about the doctrine for a moment. Think about the purpose of it. We're meant to be in relationship with each other and with the God who is the lover, the beloved, and love itself. Amen.